Good morning. This is Rancho Marietta Community Service District Security Meeting, July 7th, 10 a.m. So we'll get it going. Item number two, Amelia, I still want to have a teleconference pursuant to the government code dealing with COVID-19. Amelia, do you have any hands or chats or anything?
No, I don't. And I would like to remind the audience that we won't have chats. So if you have something to say, please raise your hand. If you're having problems raising your hand, then when we ask for public comment, if you could speak up, we would appreciate it.
Perfect. Thank you, Amelia. Moving on to item number four, update security special parcel tax measure option. I don't know if this is going to be Kelly or Tom.
I'm thinking.
This is for me. I just want to tell you that we're moving right along as planned and on schedule with a special board meeting scheduled for next Monday night. We held a community leader invitation meeting last week, which in general turned out really, really well. The dialogue was pretty around the room. Quite a few people chimed in, and one of the more critical aspects of it all is there was quite a bit of discussion about what level of contribution we would put on the ballot as the ballot measure. And we presented three scenarios similar to what True North had presented, what we worked with True North back in January. And one scenario was to provide additional funding to security, but not yet meet fully funding security, which has been discussed as a primary goal in order to not use other funds besides those dedicated to security for security. And another one we titled maintain, and then the third we titled increase. And after about 2 hours of meeting and lots of different dialogue and lots of different points of view, we narrowed it down to going to a show of hands as to what these community leaders felt they could support or would support. And the one for just adding extra money to security but not fully funding it, it was basically tabled as not being supported by the group under the assumption of why should we put ourselves in the same place, which is we can't afford full-time security as we've tried to do with Measure J in 1998. Then we proposed one that would increase the tax would be a $26 per parcel special tax going forward that would maintain the 24/7, 365 coverage for having enough staff for the gates and for a single patrol officer. And of the hands that were of the people that were there, 12 hands were raised in favor of the $26 increase. And then we came up with one for increase. And the increase, and correct me if I'm wrong, I believe was $31 a month per parcel. And the $31 a month per parcel would add 12 hours of patrol services, which to be clear, the patrol officers also sub in at the gate to allow the gate officers to take breaks and eat their lunch. So that actually aids in supporting the gates a little bit, but mostly the 12 hours would be added to help out patrol services. And it could be 12 hours in every day, or it could be 24 hours on the weekend days and some less hours during the week. It just depends on what Kelly feels the needs are for scheduling. And this also included, it was either 10 or 20 hours estimated per week from the sheriff's department. What they call it, Kelly, what's the term they use when the sheriff's officers volunteer for shifts here?
That's off-duty employment.
It's off-duty employment for that many hours for 6 months out of the year. So for 26 weeks, I believe we said 20 hours, and I believe that amount added up to $41,500, something like that. And so that we dubbed increase, and then the show of hands was 13 for that. So there's one more show of hands, one more extra hand up over the maintain for the increase. But you know, it's pretty much an even Steven bet there. So given that, we're taking to the board this next Monday the suggestion, the recommendation that the board either support maintaining the maintaining level of special tax, special partial tax, or the increased level of special partial tax. And we get a presentation there. We're making some adjustments. One of the adjustments we're making to our presentation is to discuss the inflator, which we're recommending be a commonly used CPI scale that will allow us to keep up with inflation. But we are also recommending that the CPI be maxed at no more than 5% per year. The particular index we're using, which is very common, actually went up like 8.36% this year, but with a 5% cap, that's the most we would have been able to take it up. And I don't know, if there's runaway inflation, maybe that never catches up anyway, but we're confident that we can make a lot of headway in fully staffing and security, either through the maintainer increased level, utilizing that inflator going forward. The other thing of note was, it was suggested by one of the members of the group at the community leaders meeting that we set up a citizen advisory committee or citizen oversight committee or something like that, which would be determined as part of the process, what would be the makeup of that committee. I've seen these happen in other cities and counties where you develop advisory groups, and sometimes they meet quarterly, sometimes they meet annually. Usually they meet every month to begin with, but that would be a group of ratepayers, citizens, voters, who would meet periodically and go over whatever it is that, you know, first we would provide as far as what we think is important for them to see. And then probably we would modify that based upon the desires of the committee. And that really hit a positive tone with a couple of the prominent members of the group. And I would hope that if that's what they wanted, they continue to desire that function to this measure. So that's kind of it. There was quite a bit of discussion on making sure that every single parcel would pay the same amount, regardless of it being, you know, the Bel Air or the Starbucks or a person living in the Village or the 78 homes or any of the homes behind the gates, including, you know, the undeveloped properties, which the undeveloped properties pay a lot of money through Measure J, but they would pay an equal amount to everyone else with this new measure that so far we're dubbing X. The process would be then, if the board approves it next Monday night to go forward, we would ask them to pick one of those rates. And then that would go forward to July 20th, at which the board would then elect to go forward with the measure or decide not to. Going forward with the measure at that point, from that stage, would cost the district about $600 to place the measure on the ballot, just the bare measure. We have the opportunity to add pros and cons or for and against discussion as part of that ballot measure, and I think we're limited to 4 pages, but I'm not sure of just yet, but from my conversations with the registrar of voters back in March, I believe that was the case. And that would be if we have a general election for board members. The way it works is the first, they call it contest, the first contest you have on the ballot would run us a rate per voter. And I believe that was just under $8,000 for the district to put that measure on the ballot, or the election on the ballot. And then a second contest, which would be this parcel tax, that would cost us far less per voter, and it would come in under $600, I believe. And that's what we know right now. We're working on the staff report that includes the proposed ordinance and resolution and a discussion of what Measure X would be and what it would cover. We're trying to include language in it to confirm or make it very even more clear than it is today what is allowed to be, the funds are allowed to be used. In fact, you know, make it clearly defined that the administration of this entire system is a requirement, because you can't have staff that you can't administer from all sorts of levels of government. And also that any excess funds annually would go into specific account for security reserves, and then somehow discuss the citizens oversight group, whatever that would look like. And so, like I say, we're going to try and put something together before the end of business today, definitely by tomorrow. And then we'll have the meeting Monday, and then we'll go from there. And we have a few days after that to react to whatever the board is gives us direction to do. And that's my update.
Very good. Thank you, Tom. I haven't had any dialogue with the other board members, especially the ones from finance. And where I'm going is, we're in a situation because the original tax measure had a cap on it. So I don't know if we want to repeat the same mistake. I get the 5%, but again, at the end of the day, we're at 8% or better this year. Next year, we have a zero rate increase this year, just because of the Prop 218 petition. So if we had a cap on this, we would be losing so much ground, and that's what got us into this situation. So I understand the thought process behind a max, but again, at the end of the day, if the residents tell us they want this funded, then I don't think there should be a cap on it. And if the residents tell us they don't want CSD to really do security, we'll know that as well. But thank you. And so I would say either the end of, I would take your time. Let's get something at least by Friday to look at. I don't think we need to kill ourselves to get it out today. This isn't anything new in the process. So with that said, very good. I like it. So thank you. Moving on to item 5, security monthly updates.
Tim, I see there's a hand up.
Sure. Mr. Sullivan.
Thank you. Giving thought to this partial tax, I have a hard time understanding there being any conversation about there not being a limit on the annual increases. Otherwise, why even have Measure J? Why don't you just pass a partial tax and say we do like Cypress Point Club. We just tell you what we spent. We divide it by 2,700 or 3,000 or 3,500, whatever number of parcels there are in the district. So I have a problem if you don't set a cap, because we get into the situation that we're in now, where previous boards have added staff and other things to Measure J and run the costs up, so that we now can't afford it because our unfunded pension liabilities and our post-retirement healthcare benefits and all of those things that we've now discovered are loaded into our security costs have now been realized, and we can't balance the budget. So have a problem without a cap. The second thing is, what do you do when you start converting Rancho North to lots? You've got, let's just say, 30 lots of development property that turned into 1,000 lots of homes. Each of those are going to pay the parcel tax. So you've got a $400,000, $500,000 bonus of additional money that comes in when those lots convert to when they convert from big lots to development lots. So is there some consideration on how that amends the partial tax? I'd like to have that in the staff memo. And then I'm assuming that our legal counsel is assisting in developing the staff memo that's coming in. Tom said it might be available today, but now you're talking about having it available when? Monday? Before the meeting?
No, no, no. We're trying our best to get this out today, John. If not today, I've worked.
Okay.
If it's coming out today, great. So if there's
a staff memo out, can all the points and authorities necessary to understand what type of tax this is and under what code sections that we're going to raise this tax, and whether there's a legal opinion or our council's making an opinion that this is not in conflict with Measure J and Prop 218?
So let me answer that. John, can I answer that question?
I'd like to see it in the memo. I don't really want to hear it from anybody other than whoever's preparing.
Well, I'll tell you what. Memo. Hey, Amelia, mute everybody, please.
Thank you very much. I will mute everyone. So you have to please unmute yourselves if you want to speak later on. And that is 3 minutes. Thank you very much, Mr. Sullivan.
So a couple of things. We hit the time limit, and just for your own edification, Mr. Sullivan, I was accused of playing favorites on the time slots, going over 3 minutes for some individuals and limiting for others. So from now on, when I'm running a meeting, it shall be 3 minutes and that's it. Tom, you don't have to answer. I would continue with the staff report as we've discussed. We can use parts of the September 18th, 2020 memo from legal counsel. I mean, all that stuff we already have. So like I said, my preference would be not to kill ourselves, but to get it done and get it available by tomorrow would give everyone enough time from that standpoint. Amelia, I see another hand raised.
Thank you very much. James Q. Public, you may speak.
Hi, I'd like to make one correction. It was stated that security tax was not increasing this year because of the 218 process. That's incorrect. Security tax is not affected by the 218 process, and it is indeed increasing this year.
Correct. Thank you. Moving on to item 5, security monthly updates. Kelly, please.
Hear me? Are we here?
Mm-hmm. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Very good. We'll start with recruiting. We currently have all of our gate officer positions filled, with the exception of one part-time gate officer position, and we are actively trying to fill that. We have a sergeant position that's vacant. However, that position is frozen. We continue to use three ABA contract security officers to help us for rotation. Patrol not covered. It's at approximately 170 hours, probably a little bit north of that. And that's mainly due to COVID. We got hit really hard this last month. I myself was out for 10 days. So this report's a little bit lean with the COVID. When we left off about training the officers on CPR and AED, I'm in communications with the company, and their staff has also been hit with COVID. So as soon as their staff comes out to full staff, by next board meeting, I should have information regarding that. Regarding my contact with Rancho Marietta this month, the big thing was we were planning the June 26th event, their community event, and hundreds of people showed up. The helicopter was there, the SWAT team was there, undersheriff was there. They had a good turnout, and we supported that, and it went really well. One of the things from my compliance meeting yesterday, speeding is up again. I think the RMA alone had 51 speeding citations, and they determined that the majority of the speeders, at least last month, were contract personnel. So they're looking at ways of having contract personnel either at the gate, be warned, or talking to the contract bosses themselves, reminding them to slow down their speed. But that was a big uptake in speeding, especially in the north. That's one of the issues that we looked at yesterday. A lot of my time last month was spent on the preparation of July 4th, the parade, the fireworks show, all the supporting network, all the supporting resources that the 4th of July required, pretty much went off without a hitch. I got nothing but compliments for our officers, so that went really well. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. Let's see. We also had some important meetings that we wanted to meet. We were going to meet with the Equestrian Center to discuss their specific security needs. However, it was canceled and we were rescheduled. There's also the Garden Community. They also request us to meet with them. They have some security concerns. But again, that was also canceled. And I'll get those meetings on next month. Hopefully, we'll be able to meet with those organizations as well. And if we can go to the next one. And then there's the 51 citations at RMA Road, and we wrote about 18 for speeding. Okay. Still questions here?
That's just the one there
should be. We get entries by type if there's no questions there. We're still having glitches with the other gate report, and I hopefully we'll have that resolved by our board meeting.
His favorite, incidents of doubt.
Right, so there was two big ones last month. On June 6th, 2022, at approximately 10:30 hours, there was a hate incident involving graffiti at the gazebo area parking lot at next to the Northgate area. CST security responded to a vandalism call at the gazebo area located next to the Northgate. Upon arrival, CST staff observed several swastikas and drawings of male genitalia, along with the statement of Hail Hitler. Located in the driveway adjacent to the playground area, the Sheriff's Department and RMA were immediately advised to respond to the location. While CSD was conducting their investigation, they made contact with some juveniles that are about sixth grade playing in the area. And they came over and they looked at the graffiti. And both of them stated they knew the graffiti was wrong, but they didn't know exactly why. But the juveniles seemed really concerned, but they resumed playing and went about their day. But CSD officer did very good by contacting them and keeping him in the investigation. CST officer proceeded to the north gate and met with the compliance officer who had located the video surveillance footage of the incident. However, he could not identify who the people were. Those same juveniles later walked over to the north gate unsolicited and stated they might know who did the vandalism. The CST staff asked him to watch the video before making any statements. Juvenile one stated that was his older brother in the video along with several of his brother's friends. At that point, CSD immediately contacted the parents and all parties were identified and the information was turned over to the sheriffs and RMA for ongoing vandalism investigations. The parents were met with CSD staff over the incident and received an apology letter from the juveniles involved. And my understanding that these juveniles, and they know who the main graffiti people who have been tagging RMA property for months and they've been able to identify them. RMA has been able to talk to the parents. And they've been able to close a lot of their cases. So this was a big win for CSD and RMA in regards to the fight on vandalism, if you will. Then we had another incident on June 7th, 2022, at approximately 18:30 hours, an intoxicated person in Lake Calero. CSD personnel were on routine patrol when they discovered a male fully clothed swimming in Lake Calero. CSD personnel contacted the male and ordered him out of the lake. The male complied and was advised of the swimming rules. The male then stated that the trees were talking to him and he felt that he was on fire and again ran into the lake. This information made our officers believe that he was under the influence of alcohol or drugs. The male stayed in the lake for approximately 30 minutes, about 20 yards away from the shore, until he was convinced by our staff to exit the lake by our staff. Upon his exit, we took the rare case of going hands-on and took the person into custody and detained him due to his intoxication and fearing of drowning until the sheriff's department arrived. And in my case, this is why we have professional security. This was a good job by our officers who just on routine patrol in the middle of the day observed this, and we probably prevented someone from drowning in our drinking water. So one of the things that we've learned from this incident, we probably will, and I've talked to Tom, we probably will get a, they call it like donut, a life-saving donut that goes around. Mm-hmm. So we can at least throw out to the person and they can hold on to it so we don't have to go in there. Because I understand that lake is 40 feet deep and he was having trouble getting back. So that's one of the things that we learned from that incident. If there's no questions, that concludes my report.
Kelly, thank you for all of the report. But let's stay on this June 7th incident for a moment. Sure. I think, and especially knowing where the sheriffs took the person, this is a perfect example, and you were spot on by the professional conduct here. Your personnel, the district's personnel, probably saved a life that day. Let's be honest, right?
I mean,
this person was going to be hypothermic just because of the degree of how cold the water is over a period of time to start with. So yeah, so there's lessons learned from that standpoint. You know, everything from probably should have activated 911, got a water response from Metro Fire. You know, and we can talk about some of those things that we've learned, but really at the end of the day, this is one of those cases that the patrol officer really went above and beyond and saved a life. And again, it doesn't get recognized and it's not going to be showboated. It's just what we do. And we've recognized other employees for what they thought they were just doing their job. But this is really a pretty cool thing that we did, especially the history of what's going on with this young man. And so we just hope that all of that process works out. But at the end of the day, an extra thank you to this person. And yeah, we do have lessons learned in what we can do and what are the resources available. And we can all learn from that and codify that into some procedures and policies. So I like that from that standpoint. Kelly, I believe I sent you and the general manager and I don't know if it was talked about a compliance about what RMA is looking at with some potential cameras. If I didn't send that to you, I will get it sent over to you because I know that RMA is pretty close at looking at newer type system that would assist us immensely in how we do our speed enforcement, stop sign enforcement, those types of things. So I'll double check to make sure that you're in the loop with that specifically from that standpoint. The other thing, Kelly, I got a copy of what the sheriff sent you, and you told us this about the citizens have to call in to the sheriffs, not security. I think we'll have to work on getting a little bit of that education out again. I'm just not sure how we're going to go about it. This was the letter from Sergeant Arbuckle.
Right. And I didn't talk about it this time because I was going to bring it up next month. But yeah, I'm glad you reminded me. And this is a case where you had our officers trying to be a little bit proactive, where they saw a party happening. They knew it was after hours. They knew it was a violation of HOA rules. They were going to do the door knock. But when they looked in their notes, they said, do not go to this house unless you have the sheriffs with you, because it's been past problematic location. So at that point, they called the sheriffs out there. And then the sheriff said, hey, look, this is not an HOA rule violation. It's not a crime. You need to have a victim or have a complaint. So that's kind of where it stemmed from. And then, so again, we keep hearing the same thing. It was like, they want the sheriff's department, I say they, the victims to call in. So they have a name, they have a number, they can make arrests. And I understand that. At the same point though, they call our, especially with the everything going on in the social media, they call our front desk or our dispatch center and say, hey, we want your help with this. And we say, you need to call the sheriffs. What good is security? What do I have you for? Why can't you help me? So we try to balance that request, if you will. And that's with training. I'm trying to train these dispatch officers to, well, maybe if they're elderly, you can call for them. You can call, maybe get a patrol out there and help them. So we try to tailorize each request, if you will. But on the same time, this gate officer has to run a gate that several people are approaching at the same time. And this non-emergency number can take, I waited 45 minutes one time to get someone to come out for a burglary. So again, there's that operational issue to think about as well. So it's a complex issue that we are working on, I promise.
Well, and yes, and I know you are, Kelly, and thank you. But again, at the end of the day, things will be more clear, I think, by November 9th, because the community is going to say whether they want us doing security or not. But again, it's one of those, you're right, the social media does show one-sidedness in a process instead of understanding really the limitations that we in fact have, not only by district policy and procedures, but by county code, and in this case, how the Sacramento County Sheriffs actually function when it comes to a victim and if there's a crime from that standpoint. So that'll be that part that, again, I understand what the sergeant wrote us. I just think it's one of those, it's always going to be an ongoing educational loop. But like I said, we'll know more in November exactly how much in earnest we need to continue or not. And also talking about the vandalism, I have spoken with the RMA board president specifically about this, and they've done their due diligence at all levels. I think they've been very successful because, again, what we're looking for is behavior modification. I know that a resident has written a letter to RMA and CC to us about this type of topic. And I know that the association is making a lot of headway in how they're going to handle these in the future. So I think both of these events were absolute out of the ballpark home runs for security, and a lot of it has to go to you and the professionalism that you're bringing to that department. So for that, Kelly, thank you, and please thank the individuals involved in both incidents.
Yeah, I will thank both of them. And you're right, I didn't mention that, but they're even in our great incident here on June 7th, where we saved a life, there was still training, there was still CSD liability concerns. And that's what we're talking about with supervision. And we need to have supervisors to provide that training. It just never ends. You always want to have that in a professional security organization. The other, I'm getting a lot of calls about the incident, the vandalism, about fines and what punishment. And I always reach out and I say, well, the fines are held by RMA.
Correct.
They handle that, and any kind of criminal prosecutions handled by the Sheriff's Department. We're kind of out of the ballpark with those two. And I get a lot of questions regarding those issues. And I always have to refer them to the RMA who handle the fines. And the Sheriff's Department. I just wanted to say that on record.
Yeah, and I mean you're spot on with that. And again, the conversations I've had with my peers over on the RMA board, I'm not here for collecting money and handing out fines. I prefer behavioral modification. And in some cases, if we need to refer people to county resources, which we've done in the past. As juveniles, obviously working with the parents, then that's the best we can do, and we move on from there. But again, I think that we were very successful in these two instances, and you're right, the professionalism. And again, that's that part of you hear people argue Measure J, now this new measure, and terms like run-up costs, loaded costs. items put into it. And at the end of the day, it's the cost of doing business. And you're right, the supervision in this case, potentially lack of, just because of how our security is funded, does put us at a huge liability and a huge risk. So I get it. Thank you.
And
if, go ahead, Amelia.
If you have a hand raised, are you ready for public comment?
Yes, please.
Crystal Matter.
Can you hear me okay?
It's a little fuzzy, but we'll listen harder.
Okay, a couple quick questions. First, I know we have a lot of cameras around the neighborhood, and do we have a live feed capability on any of them? And what made me think of this is, when you guys were talking about the person in Lake Calero, I called security, I think on the 3rd of July, because there was somebody swimming in, actually two gentlemen, one was fishing, the other was swimming in Lake Guadalupe. And I think, I don't know if that lake serves as any drinking water, but I know it's a no fishing, so presumably a no swimming lake as well. And I just wonder if any of those cameras have the ability to provide a live feed, because if it doesn't, I find them to be completely useless, because CSD doesn't have the manpower to actually review it. And you can only review after something has taken place, whether it's vandalism or a drowning or anything like that. So that was question one. Question two had to do with reporting to the sheriff's department. This is kind of news to me in terms of that being a standard protocol. I know about a year ago, there was some discussion about the reports to the sheriff's department, saying that CSD doesn't always make reports to the sheriff's department. I know that they did for some events. And so I think there needs to be some clarity between CSD and the community regarding which items CSD does actually file a report as to, and which the community is responsible to file a report, because there could be an assumption on the part of the community members that CSD is actually making these reports. And then just the last one is more of a comment rather than a question. Respectfully, Tim, your comments about social media being one-sided shows the persistent dismissiveness of community members and their experience. Personally, I've spent a lot of time talking with Tom, sometimes talking with Amelia, and I've learned a lot. And I've also got a lot of PRA requests, some of which have gone unfilled and unresponded to. Some of them have been responded to. So on the one hand, I think that your comment is incorrect. There is a lot of information out there. And on the other hand, in my opinion, and I'm trying to be respectful, shows how out of touch you are with some of the community members. And so I think in order to bridge that gap between the board.
Amelia, I have 3 minutes.
Some sort of understanding there.
Thank you. Okay, moving on. Staff comments, anything from staff?
Did you answer any of my questions? I apologize to cut in, but I asked a couple questions.
One second on that, Kelly. I understand you asked questions. I wrote them down. Your 3 minutes are up. I'm moving on to item six, where I'm asking staff if there's any comments or suggestions.
I have none.
I have none as well.
Okay, very good, thank you. Kelly, I've got a couple of items to follow up with you on, and I made note of them here. Tom, as we get the staff report close to being done, I wouldn't mind taking a look at the draft of it from that standpoint. And again, we can work out how that looks either later this afternoon or in the morning from that standpoint. Amelia, I see one more hand raised.
Yes, if you're still accepting public comment.
We're past it, but I'll accept it.
Thank you very much, sir. James Q. Public.
Hi, I'd just like to say, your response to Crystal Matter was so typical of communication at CSD. I'm just you don't want to answer questions, you don't want to respond. And I mean, that is so typical of what you guys do. It's a one-way communication and sort of a F you. That's all I gotta say.
I'm assuming he's done. Mr. Sullivan.
Am I unmuted? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I was looking at the CSD case narrative listing, and apparently during the period near the end of the time period that is where this log is delivered, there's a bunch of comments in there regarding extra patrol for the equestrian center. And I'm assuming this is listed because for the many month period, there were no patrols at the equestrian center, erroneously because of communication problem between a previous employee and a trainee. And I'm wondering if that is the reason that all these things show up here as extra patrol. And I don't know if Kelly can answer that or whether this is truly quote unquote extra beyond the normal patrol that goes on now that's been reinstated.
I understand the question, Mr. Sullivan. I wrote it down. Much like all the questions the board gets in the public forum, to just immediately try and answer them and we're not accurate, just sends a tidal wave going that direction. So that's one of the items I already had noted. So we'll follow up with you once I have some conversation with both the GM and Kelly himself on this for the Equestrian Center.
Thank you.
Yep. I don't see any other hands. Amelia?
No, there's no other hands raised.
Okay. I want to thank everybody for their time. And we'll adjourn the meeting. And then I'll just be reaching out to staff for the follow-up of the items of this and the other list I have. So everyone have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.